Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Thursday, May 13th, 2021. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever discovered. These tools are available absolutely free at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the red and white bullseye or the link in the upper left-hand corner of most pages that says Start Here, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? That chapter of that book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using for over 16 years now to dramatically improve my quality of life, manage my emotions, improve my relationships, and turn any negative emotional state I experience into part of the infallible guidance system that each of us has been gifted. If you go to that page and read that chapter of that book, or even if you don't, you can also click on a link that for a PDF file. It's simply click and download the PDF file of the actual worksheet process itself, print it off, and use it as often as you'd like. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows just like this one where people have been stepped through that worksheet process or they've called in to give powerful testimonials about the positive effects of the application of this tool in their lives. Or we've had, you know, some of those shows are discussions of the principles behind the power of the tool. You can also go to your app store, either Google Play or the Apple App Store, and type in the three words, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you will get access. You'll see the glowing heart icon. And if you tap on that, it will give you access to a completely free and private app for your phone that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. And we encourage people to do that soon and often, so you have comments or questions arise, you may call us. We're here 5 days a week, 2 hours a day in our current format for the purpose of answering those questions, facilitating your skill in using these tools. And if you call the number 563-999-3581 and press 1, it will put a little question mark by your phone number, and I will announce you by your area code, and we can have a conversation. We're also doing the Course in Miracles lessons from the workbook this year, and today is the 133rd day of the year. And today's lesson reads, I will not value what is valueless. The commentary says, sometimes in teaching there is benefit to bring a person back to practical concerns, particularly after they have gone through what seems theoretical and far from what the student has already learned. So today we will bring things back to practical terms. We will not speak of lofty world-encompassing ideas, but we will dwell instead on the benefits to you. The truth is, you do not ask too much of life, but you ask far too little. When you let your mind be drawn to bodily concerns, to things you buy, to eminence as valued by the world, you ask for sorrow, not for happiness. This course does not attempt to take from you the little that you have. It does not try to substitute utopian ideas for satisfactions which the world contains. There are no satisfactions in the world. Today, we list the real criteria by which to test all things you think you want. Unless they meet these criteria, these sound requirements, they are not worth desiring at all. The laws that govern choice you cannot make, no more than you can make alternatives from which to choose. The choosing you can do, indeed you must, but it is wise to learn the laws you set in motion when you choose, and wise to learn what alternatives you choose between. We have already stressed here, there are but two, however, there appear to be many. The range is set, and thus we cannot change it. It would be most ungenerous for you to let alternatives be limitless and thus delay your final choice until you had considered all of them in time and not been brought so clearly to the place where there is but one choice that must be made. So I'm not helping myself when I create what seem to be limitless alternatives, when in truth, there is only love or fear. There is only what actually exists and my false perception. The commentary reads, another kindly and related law is that there is no compromise in what your choice must bring. It cannot give you just a little, for there is no in-between. Each choice you make brings everything to you or nothing. Therefore, if you learn the tests by which you can distinguish everything from nothing, you will make a better choice. First, if you choose a thing that will not last forever, what you choose is valueless. A temporary value is without all value. Time can never take away a value that is real. What fades and dies was never truly there and makes no offering to him who chooses it. He is deceived by nothing in a form he thinks he likes. Next, if you choose to take a thing away from someone else, you will be left with nothing. This is because when you deny his right to everything, you have denied your own right to everything. You therefore will not recognize the things you really have and deny that they are there. Who seeks to take away has been deceived by the illusion that loss can offer gain. Yet loss must offer loss and nothing more. Your next consideration is the one on which the others rest. Why is the choice you make of value to you? What attracts your mind to it? What purpose does it serve? Here it is easiest of all to be deceived, for the ego wants, for what the ego wants, it fails to recognize. The ego does not even tell the truth to itself as it perceives it, for it needs to keep the halo which it uses to protect its goals from tarnish and rust, that you may never see how innocent it is. Yet, it is camouflage, a thin veneer, which could deceive but those who are content to be deceived. Its goals are obvious to anyone who cares to look for them. Here their deception is doubled, for the one who is deceived will not perceive that he has merely failed to gain. He will believe that he has served the ego's hidden goals. Yet, though he tries to keep his halo clear with its vision, still must he perceive its tarnished edges and rusted core. So we come to the criterion for choice that is the hardest to believe, because its obviousness is overlaid with many levels of obscurity. If you feel any guilt about your choice, you have allowed the ego's goals to come between the real alternatives and you. And thus, you do not realize there are only two choices possible. And the alternative you think you choose seems fearful and too dangerous to be the nothing it actually is. All things are either valuable or valueless, worthy or not of being sought at all, entirely desirable or not worth the slightest effort to obtain. All things fit description. They either have value or they're valueless. Choosing is easy because of this. Complexity is nothing but a screen of smoke which hides the very simple fact that no decision can be difficult. What is the gain to you in learning of this? It is far more than merely letting you make choices easily and without pain. Heaven itself is reached with empty hands and open minds, which come with nothing to find everything and claim it as their own. We will attempt to reach this state today, and self-deception will be laid aside, and with an honest willingness to value the truly valuable and real. Our two extended practice periods of 15 minutes each begin with this: I will not value what is valueless, and I will only value what has value, for only that do I desire to find. And then receive what awaits for everyone who reaches, unencumbered, to the gate of heaven, which swings open as he comes. So should you begin to let yourself collect some needless burdens, should you begin to let yourself collect some needless burdens or believe you see some difficult decisions facing you, stop and be quick to answer it with this simple thought: I will not value what is valueless, for what is valuable belongs to me. So the idea is the mind, the ego, is built on infinite complexities. And it's a web of complex thoughts woven together to try and make something that's not real appear real. That's what the ego's thought structure is. And the ego's thought structure needs to maintain itself. So it maintains itself with complexity. So Pam Grout's book, A Course in Miracles Experiment, her lesson 133 is titled Thumbs Up, Thumbs Down. When the brain gets involved, it starts a spreadsheet. That's quoted from Pete Holmes. Pam writes, "The human brain likes to solve, understand, decide, debate, argue, influence, opine, and whine. It rarely shuts up. It gets its jollies by making everything complicated. Even Facebook's simple thumbs up sign now comes with a selection of 6 emojis. In today's lesson, I will not value what is valueless. I abandon all complication. I make one simple decision to value only the valuable. I make the decision to make all decisions based on what benefits me. Theories do not matter." Despite Facebook's 6 emojis and the brain's unending dicing and splicing, I recognize there are only two alternatives: fear, which disguises itself in a million different costumes, or love. I am always choosing either fear or love, moment to moment. I recognize that if fear shows up in one of its endless costumes, it doesn't mean there's an actual problem. It just means there's a problem in perception. Therefore, fear, or the costume problem, is I can't pay my bills. The truth is, I have a perceptual problem. If the fear, or the costume problem, says I can't see eye to eye with my boss, the truth is, I have a perceptual problem. If the fear says I am overweight and unattractive to the opposite sex, the truth is, I have a perceptual problem. So today I acknowledge I have been mistaken. Not 99.99% of the time, but 100% of the time. And I remind myself in each of my two 15-minute sessions that despite prevailing sentiment, it is impossible to ask too much from life. If I have a perception that leads me to a negative emotion, I can instantly know my perception is off the mark. It is in error. So that's our Course in Miracles lesson and the Pam Grout commentary from A Course in Miracles experiment. And we have plenty of time for conversation. 44 minutes left. Our call-in number is 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, we can have a conversation. 563-999-3581. I am reminded that today is a Thursday, so we have a support group tonight. It's available through Zoom, absolutely free. You can join us if you have internet connection from wherever you are. All you have to do is go to mindshiftersacademy.org website and click on the right page for the Thursday night support group login information. I should also mention that I am anxious to get more input from people about who they think I should interview or a book I should read that is authored by somebody who's inspiring or might be a good interview. I have a little feeler out there for Diedrich from the choose-again.com website. I have to figure out which email to get into to I have reached out and already gotten a response from Andrew who says maybe we can hook you up with Diedrich and maybe he'll do an interview. So I am keeping my fingers crossed that Diedrich Wolsack, W-O-L-S-A-K, who is the founder of the choose-again.com website and that six-step forgiveness technique, might agree to an interview. And if you have read a book like that, or if you know of another technique that is quite similar or gets very good results, which means it must be somewhat similar because, as my blog post yesterday said, everything that works is like everything that works. So I can use different terminology for it. I can use a different scheme to get there. But if I get good results at improving my quality of life and managing my emotions and improving my relationships, I'm doing what all the great spiritual traditions have been teaching for thousands of years. And the jargon isn't relevant. What's relevant is, what is the process I'm going through? How am I actually taking increasingly more responsibility for everything I experience until I eventually have 100% responsibility for whatever I'm creating as an experience of life? And when I get closer to that, my life gets better. When I get farther away from taking 100% responsibility, my life gets harder and worse. You know, we have a world, at least in this nation, where we talk about freedom and value our freedom. And I like to say to people, listen, I'd like to ask you a question. How can you ever be free if you believe that people and things outside of you create and maintain your emotions? How can you ever be free if you believe your current life situation is causing your stress or your overwhelm? Or your ex is causing your pain, your grief, your anger, your resentment, your bitterness? I believe the very clear observation is I can't ever be free as long as I'm operating from a belief that says other people create and maintain my emotions. And since so many of us value freedom, it makes really good sense for me to correct that false perception, to challenge that belief and substitute direct observation. And one of my favorite ways to observe directly how false it is to think someone or something outside of me is creating my emotions is every time I experience a negative emotion, pick up a reality management worksheet process, step through it, and even though the people that I thought or the situations I thought were causing my upset haven't changed at all, and they don't even know I'm doing a worksheet, my upset level changes, sometimes dramatically. And there it is. I have, in that moment, every time I've done that, I have demonstrated to myself the truth that my emotional experience, my experience of life in all of its perceptions, is always an inside job. And when I do that, I'm no longer living from the false belief. Now I'm empowered to apply whatever tools seem most useful to me to alleviate that process that's creating an emotion that I don't like, any kind of negative emotion, to interrupt what David Bohm would call sustained incoherence, the process of creating a problem with the flow of my thoughts, and then mistakenly thinking I'm going to fix that problem by doing more of what created the problem in the first place. And that's the benefit that we have here. We have these powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools that when I pick them up and apply them to my negative emotional states and the thoughts I'm using to create those negative emotional states, I get change. I get benefit. I get, as the Course in Miracles lessons today says, none of this theoretical, high-flying, generalized talk. Let's just talk about benefit. Sometimes in teaching, there is a benefit to what? To bring the student to the practical concerns, particularly after the student has gone through what seems theoretical and gone far from what the student has already learned. So rather than all kinds of, you know, what's the truth of life and this, that, and the other thing, I just pick up a worksheet whenever you're upset. Well, why are we here and how did we create all of this nonsense and why do we choose pain over peace? I don't know. But rather than discuss that with you, I would rather support you in doing a worksheet because it's the direct application of the tool that's going to give me the life experience that helps me break out of the pattern of attachment to a false belief. Because it's the attachment to a false belief that's creating my pain every moment that I'm in pain, mentally and emotionally. And it's in The Tao Made Easy by Alan Cohen. It's in The Course in Miracles Made Easy by Alan Cohen. It's all through The Way of Mastery and Course in Miracles itself. This stuff is an inside job. When I create an emotion, that's exactly what's happened. I have created an emotion. I've done that with the direct application of mind energy. And if the emotion I create or the experience of life that I create is unpleasant and I think someone else is doing it to me, I'm a prisoner. But if the emotion I'm experiencing is negative and I understand, oh, this is a creation, a byproduct of the where I'm directing my mind energy right now, now I'm a co-creator and I can choose again. And if you've been around the Course in Miracles very often, you've heard that phrase over and over again. Oh, I can choose again. And that's what we're encouraging people to do. Time and time again, choose again. Why? Well, because whatever you've chosen in the first round wasn't so satisfying. You don't have to choose again, but you could. I had a mother in session earlier, and she's talking about a 27-year-old. And she's saying, I don't want to tell him what to do, but I know he needs, and I know he needs help. I know he needs therapy. And so we talked about how can you make a statement about what you know without telling the person what to do? And I said, well, what you could tell them is, I can't help you any more than I already have, so if you want more help, you should probably go see a professional. That's not telling him he has to go see a professional. It's just telling him, you know, you can't be that professional. And that he clearly is asking you to do something for him or her that you don't have the capacity to do. It's the same thing here. I have some people that, you know, they absolutely do not see the benefit in the reality management worksheets, or they can't bring themselves to do enough of them to the point where they have a sustained benefit. And I say, okay, then try something else. Because you could probably bet your bottom dollar that there's a solution to whatever problem you're experiencing that comes from the recognition, as today's Course in Miracles experiment or lesson tells us, it's a problem in perception. It's not a problem in not knowing which choice to make, because there aren't an infinite number of choices. There is the choice for love and peace, for what actually has value, or the choice for what doesn't. And then in Pam Grout's summary of the lesson, she says, guess what? The truth is, if I have a fear that says I can't pay my bills, the truth is I have a perceptual problem. If I have a fear that I can't see eye to eye with my boss, the truth is it's a perceptual problem. If I view myself as being overweight and unattractive to the opposite sex and I have a negative emotion about that, the truth is it's just a perceptual problem. And when I correct the perception, when I interrupt the thought disorder, as Michael Rice would call it these days, if I interrupt the thought pattern that's leading to that negative emotional state, it leaves a clean and open space where something with a greater wisdom, integrity, wholeness, balance can show me a different way to look at the same data points, the same perceptual input, and see it differently. And all of a sudden, if I'm willing to do that consistently, I consistently step into the process of dropping my perceptual problem, clarifying my perception, seeing that there is only love or fear, and I'm going to choose love in this moment. In the Course in Miracles Made Easy, there's a section, Alan Cohen, I was listening to it today, and he's talking about this very thing in terms of relationships. He tells the story of a neighbor that Alan regarded as nasty and a nasty alcoholic. And he says she would sit at the kitchen table with her husband and drink and complain. And Alan says, I did not see any good in her. Eventually, she and her husband took in a younger fellow to live with them. And Mark, the younger fellow, helped them and around the house, and he was there for years. When she died, that young guy, Mark, who's now quite a bit older, told her, you know, Brenda was one of the kindest people I've ever known. She and her husband treated me like a son. I will always remember and love her. And when that happened, it shook Alan Cohen to his core because he realized how skewed his interpretation of Brenda had been, how judgmental he was by focusing on one or two aspects of her. And the aspects of her he focused on brought him pain and frustration. He says, Mark, on the other hand, focused on an aspect of Brenda that brought him joy. Well, this is a life lesson. Each of us is doing this all the time. I can't control the behavior of others. I can't dictate what choices they make, but I do have control over which aspects of them I focus on and magnify and thereby create my experience of them. How many times have we been in relationships? This is at the tail end of the talk about special relationships versus holy relationships. But how many times have we been in relationships with people where it starts out and we're focusing on all of their brightness and all of their attractiveness and all of their good qualities, but after a while, Michael Rice would say in his codependence to interdependence talk, this image substitution happens, and all of a sudden, I don't get to focus on they're bright, they're beautiful, they're loving, their good sense of humor, their, you know, generous nature. Now I'm focusing on their sloppiness, their rudeness, their all of which might be there as aspects of the person, but my experience of the person is going to be driven by the parts of them that I focus on and the interpretations I place on those focusings, not driven by the person in front of me. Guy Finley has a thing where he says, as goes my attention, so comes my experience. Alan Cohen summarizes it, experience follows vision. Three words, experience follows vision. I'm much more wordier and I say, you have the infinite capacity to choose the focus of your conscious awareness in each new present moment. And it's the focus of your conscious awareness in each new present moment that is actually creating your experience of life in that moment. So you're a very powerful creator. Whether you realize it or not, you are only, always, and forever creating your experience of life. This is an ancient wisdom. I didn't make it up. It's kind of like gravity. It's just the way it is on this planet. And the more I focus on things that catch my attention that are irritating or hurtful or insulting or rude or impatient, the more that's my experience of life in that moment. And as soon as I choose to shift the focus of my attention over to the things in life or the people in front of me that are loving, that are generous, that are patient, that are respectful, then I change my experience of that life moment, in that moment. So as goes my attention, so comes my experience, and experience follows vision. Since I mentioned it, I should just clear up that sometimes when people talk about special relationships and special relationships being bad or destructive or counterproductive, they're not really thinking what the deep spiritual teaching is proposing. And for one of the best clarifications of this, if you go to the Course in Miracles Made Easy, this Alan Cohen clarifies it very, very, very clearly. He quotes the Course in Miracles where it says, a holy relationship starts from a different premise. Each one in the holy relationship has looked within themselves and seen themselves to have no lack, to be whole and complete and in their perfect safety. And then accepting their completion, they would extend that completion, that perfection, that perfect safety, that energy of creation that they're made of. They extend it by joining with another who is, and they understand this person is as whole and complete as they are. This person sees no difference between themselves and the other, for differences are only of the body. Therefore, each person in a holy relationship looks on nothing he would take Just under heaven does he stand, for this relationship has heaven's holiness. How far from home can a relationship be if it is so much like heaven? And the definition for a special relationship rather than a holy relationship is one where we turn the power to create our positive and or negative emotions over to our image of somebody else in our mind. So we enter a relationship with somebody thinking, oh my gosh, being with you makes me so happy. You light up my life. I couldn't breathe if I wouldn't want to breathe if I didn't have you. But that is exactly Michael Rice's definition for a codependent relationship. When I think or speak as though someone or something outside of me is responsible for creating and maintaining my emotions, I've just created a special relationship, a codependent relationship. In a special relationship, we single out a person, object, or ideology to be the source of our happiness. But every time we do that, we empower them to make us sad. If I think somebody else is causing my happiness, that means when they're gone, they've caused my pain and sadness. Way of Mastery talks about it as though you are a person who has the rarest of all gifts and jewels in your possession. And then you put it in a pocket. And then later you go to find it and you forget what pocket you put it in. So you reach in a pocket that you didn't put the jewel in and you feel the emptiness and then you go into a panic. And now you run around grabbing people, grabbing their bags and opening them and shaking them, rifling through their pockets, looking for this thing which you already possess, which is your true nature. But you're racing around looking for something that you already possess, which is why they say, Guy Finley has a saying where he says, the minute you set out to find the thing that you need to make you feel better, you have just created the absolute roadblock to you ever finding what you need. And the fact of the matter is, when people hear that, they say, well, that's ridiculous. And of course, if I need something, I have to go out and find it. That statement from Guy Finley is based on this observation that you already are whole and complete, that you are the energy of creation expressing in form, that nothing of value can be added to you and nothing of value can be taken from you. So the minute you think you're missing something and you reach outside yourself searching for it, you've just created the circumstances under which you will never find what you're looking for. And the reason for that is because you're looking where it isn't. It's like the old story of the person who's searching underneath a streetlight, picking up pieces of paper and rifling through a garbage can that's there. And a couple walks by and says, what's the matter? Did you lose something? The guy says, yep, I lost my car keys. And the couple says, oh, we'll help you look for it. And so they spend 10 or 15 minutes looking all around this area, in the gutter, in the street, up by the buildings. And finally, the couple says to him, well, gee, it doesn't seem to be here. Are you sure you left him here? Are you sure you lost him here? And he goes, oh, no, I lost him down the street in a dark alley. And they said, why are you looking here? Well, because there's better light over here. It's easier to look here. Well, I when I start looking in a place where I know I didn't lose something, in that process, I block the possibility that I will ever find what I'm looking for. And that's what Guy Finley's talking about when he says, the minute you rush outside yourself to find what you think you need, you have created the perfect roadblock to your ever achieving what you say you need, your ever acquiring what you say you need. You cannot have success when you look outside of yourself for the thing that you already possess. And what most people say in response to that is, I don't already possess it. I'm feeling empty. I'm feeling a lack of love. I don't have what I need. And that's where the error in perception comes in. That's where this particular summary from Pam Grout in her book rings so true for us. My fear says one thing, and the truth is, I don't have that problem. I have a perceptual problem. My fear says there's a problem with my boss. I don't have a problem with my boss. I have a perceptual problem. I'm looking in a place that's empty and devoid of anything of true value for something of value. That's what today's Course in Miracles lesson tries to drive home to us, that those things that have value are only those things that do not end in time. Those things that have true permanence are the only things that have value. And so my body is going to end in time. Everything that begins in time ends in time, if you listen to some of these great teachings like The Way of Mastery. So if I think I'm only going to be happy when I achieve a certain quality of health or fitness or weight loss for my body, I just set myself up for major failure. Because I think I'm pursuing something of value, and the thing I'm pursuing has no absolute value. So I'm looking for something of value in a place where there is only the valueless, only those things which are temporary, only those things which rust and fade and moths can eat. What is permanent? What is the truth? What is unchanging? I love the way, what's her name? What is her name? Ganga G. She talks about how if you spend enough time in meditation, if you spend enough time watching everything that comes and goes in your meditation, what comes and goes in your meditation are all of these thoughts and all of these emotions. And if you spend enough time watching everything that comes and goes, eventually you will recognize that which never comes and goes, that which is permanent, that part of you that is your true value, your wholeness, your essence is love, all these various words for the same thing. If you let yourself sit and watch the flow of your thoughts and your emotions, and you recognize that they're constantly changing, then you will eventually be introduced to that which never changes. It's sitting right there. It is your core. So our call-in number is 563-999-3581, and we have plenty of time for a comment or question. We've got 15 minutes left on this Thursday, which means there's a support group tonight. So if you're interested, join us. All of the information about how to do that is at mindshiftersacademy.org. And we'd love to have you join us or pass that information along to somebody that might be interested, might have benefit from joining us. I had yet another person today that wanted to send somebody to me to have therapy, and I had to say, I really don't have the space. But I was glad to be able to say, but we do have the equivalent of 3,000 hours of internet shows that are available absolutely free, and we do have time to call into the internet show 5 days a week, 2 hours a day. And we do have a support group that runs from 6:30 to 9 on Tuesday nights and 6:30 to 9 on Thursday nights. And we do have all kinds of other things we can point you to, like Byron Katie's work, Ho'oponopono, the Sedona Release Method, and now we know about Diedrich's work, which is from choose-again.com, a six-step process that takes into account almost all of the core tools that Michael will talk about or you'll find in A Course in Miracles or The Way of Mastery. And so these ideas and the tools, the corollary tools that go with them, are getting to be made available more and more through the internet and YouTube videos and downloads from websites like whyagain.org. And so take advantage of it every time you're so motivated to do so. The other thing is I've recently had several people who are so fried and frenetic that they can't, they're in overwhelm and they can't seem to get enough done to, you know, get ahead or get some peace or whatever. And so we've been talking about various tools that are available to help people get more benefit from their meditation. So there's an app called Headspace, and there's an app called Calm, and there's a device, if you've got a little bit of money, that you can get called the Muse, which actually is a headpiece you wear, and it reads your brainwave activity, and it corresponds to an app, so it gives you some instant feedback, and you can actually do your own, you know, biofeedback training for your meditation in your home. For it's a couple hundred bucks is that one of those, the Muse is. And we're just trying to help people understand that, yeah, there's a lot of downsides to technology, especially being completely consumed by it all day, every day. But there's also some benefits. And many people have found that even though they seem to be way too busy to meditate, if they can get meditation to be part of their daily practice, they end up having more productivity and less stress and less overwhelm. So that's another thing that I routinely encourage people to do, the breathing, the EFT tapping, but also a little bit of time every day where they're just watching their thoughts or they're just reciting a mantra. They're doing some form of meditative practice because the benefits go beyond words in a heartbeat. I like to tell the story of the assistant to Mary Baker Eddy when they were trying to expand the Mother Church and do some other work for the Christian Science movement, and she had this prominent businessman who was spearheading a lot of that work, and he came to her and he said, I'm getting too burned out. I've got to take a break. I've got to, you know, step back from this. I've got to resign. And at that time in that group, Mary Baker Eddy had the prerequisite for everybody that worked for her that they spend, I think it was 2 hours a day meditating. It might have only been one, but I think it was 2 hours a day meditating and praying. And she said, oh, that's under, I understand if you, there's too much going on and you need to resign, that's okay. But she said, let me, I just have to recommend to you that you might want to try doubling your meditation time before you quit. And the guy just blew up. He said, you're not listening to me. I told you, I already have way too much to do in a day. I can't get it all done, and that's why I have to resign. And she said, okay. And he said, what do you mean, okay? She said, okay, if you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it, and I'll accept your resignation. However, I would consider, if I were you, before you resign, just try it. What do you mean? You have nothing to lose. And sure enough, he tried it, and he did not need to resign. He felt so much benefit from spending more time meditating that he got more done in less time, and he was able to maintain his position and help move that cause forward. So the benefits of rest and relaxation, a lot of people think about it as rest and relaxation. Oh, yeah, I need to rest and relax. I need a vacation. I love the saying that says, rather than working and spending all of this time and energy trying to figure out how to get a vacation, why don't you spend some time trying to construct a life that you don't feel like you have to escape from it? That's just such a foreign idea to most people. But it's a lovely idea. How about I just find a way to live my life so that I don't feel like I've got to get away from it? So I don't feel like I can't wait for happy hour, or I can't wait for the weekend, or I can't wait for, you know, me to get home tonight and pop open a beer or whatever it is, or turn on my favorite numbing out television show. That's what we're hoping people do with the application of these tools. Wake up to the recognition that you're constructing your experience of life all day, every day. So if you have a life that you're experiencing and you're not enjoying it, and you wake up to the fact that you're the one creating that experience, and then with some awareness of these observations and tools, you could step into reconstructing, deconstructing and reconstructing a life that brings you far more joy and aliveness, far more relaxation day in and day out at various parts of your day, far more sense of satisfaction. And that's what we're hoping people do with their application of these tools. And if you do and you're having any success with that, or if you're struggling and you're not having success with that, we'd love to hear about it here at 563-999-3581. And if you call that number and press 1, we can have a conversation. What is on your mind? We've got 5 minutes left. Yeah, about 5 minutes left. And we're coming up on the weekend, so take advantage of this time if you have comments or questions. I know that I haven't said this in a while, so I'll say this. I'd be happy to entertain your comments and your questions if you're living. If you're listening to this through the archives, so you don't have the ability to call in right now, if something we're talking about raises a comment or a question, feel free to email me at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org, or you can email Jeannie at jeanie@yagain.org. And we will do our best to answer those questions in one of the next shows. And then you can listen to the answer in the archive. So not that we'll actually have the answer to your question, but we'll have some things to say about it. We'll share our thoughts and or acknowledge that that's a thought and a question we've never considered before, and maybe we'll do some research to find a good answer to it and then come and talk about it some. So we have all kinds of people who have the belief pattern instilled in them that they're bad, they're wrong, they're a sinner, they're inadequate. And the great spiritual teachings, not the religions, but the great spiritual teachings would have us observe differently, that you remain as you were created to be, and that there is far more good going on with you in each new present moment than there is anything to be upset about or anything to feel a lack over. And if you can move into that space where you can observe that for yourself, it is a game changer. I can tell you this from firsthand experience, that I spent most of my young life feeling that sense of inadequacy, feeling as though I wasn't quite good enough, feeling as though I was replaying the conditioning of my culture and my religion and the family, that, you know, I'm a sinner and that, that I'm responsible for other people's emotions and they're responsible for mine. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, it's an extraordinarily liberating thing to recognize the false in all of those conditioned beliefs and to step into the direct observation and to understand that the flow of life as it unfolds every day, even those days when it goes directly against what I say I want or what I think would be good, the flow of life is always more rich and abundant and rewarding and fun than anything I would ever have predicted it to be. But that's in part because I've learned to go with the path of most allowance, which is one of the ways Abraham was saying it recently in a talk from last year. Rather than talking about the path of least resistance, Abraham Hicks was talking about the path of most allowance, which I really liked because it was right in line with the five keys to the kingdom from the Way of Mastery that talk about desire, intention, allowance, surrender, and humility. So when I can move into allowing the flow of life as it expresses in my day, I have an entirely dramatically different experience of life than when I fight against it, than when I judge it and label it and say, this is bad, this is wrong, this shouldn't be happening, etc. So I thank you all for being here and listening. We have another hour coming up with Michael and Jeannie, as far as I know. And since we're down to the last couple minutes, I'll just remind us all that we come from love. We're made of this stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie Wright.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you.
I will bow out and wish you to have a wonderful show.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate you. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mind Shifters Radio. And today is Thursday, May the 13th, 2021. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us. And as I always say, we'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. And I am having some success in getting the MP4s ready, and they are just audios, but they have to be in an MP4 format to go up on Vimeo. And so I think I've got 10 of them completed right now and ready to load and to send to people. I've got a couple of people who have bought a full package, so I'm sending them as I get them done, and we hope that you enjoy them. So that has been a little bit of a challenge, but we're getting there. So thank you for holding the space and being patient. If you're one of the ones that has bought a set, thanks for being patient to get them to you. We've got one, the Pyramid Prophecy, which is messing up big time, and if we can't get a different copy to turn digital, then I guess we'll have to replace that one with something else, because the one that we've got here, you can hear about 30 minutes of it pretty clear, and then it just really goes bonkers. So that one we may have to replace. But we're working on trying to find somebody who has a previous copy that's in the cassette tapes so that we can convert it over. So hopefully we'll get that done. And we'd love to hear your questions. I am going to walk in here and make sure, see what's going on. I don't see Michael on the switchboard. So let me make sure there's nothing happening on the technology end for him. Okay, he's dialing in, so we'll give him just another moment on that. So, 563-999-3581 and press 1. What's your comment and question? Oh, I see a hand up, so I'm going to go ahead and click area code 828. You are on the air. Who do we have? Hi. 828, you're on the air. Hello. Well, maybe there is some technical difficulty going on. 828, your microphone's on. All right, then I will go to 541. You're in the air.
Hi. I decided to see if the technical difficulty was as far-reaching as the West Coast.
So at least you got in, and I'm in.
But I just dialed in shortly ago, rather like maybe 2 minutes ago. So maybe the earlier ones are having a harder time.
I think it's there actually Magda on the other line,
yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah. Well, thank you for checking with me I know that it's working.
Yeah.
I appreciate you.
Well, I'll hang up, yeah. Okay, I'll stay on, but just offline with you. Okay, take care.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Welcome, Michael.
I had to dial back in again. Are we having more technical difficulties today?
Well, when you didn't come on, I thought maybe we did, and then Magda had put her hand up, and I announced her number a couple of times, and she didn't answer, so I thought, well, maybe we are having some issues, but Julie called in, and hers came through just fine. So anyway, well, I'll try Magda's again here. Magda, are you with us yet? Hello?
Hello, Magdalena.
Unmute.
Are you challenged, Magda?
All right. Well, Michael, I'll welcome you to the show, and we'll just get started that way.
Technology, what fun. We'll check back in with Michael and maybe send her a text and tell her we tried, and maybe we finish reading from Why Is This Happening to Me Again? She'll be available to carry forward that conversation. So welcome, everybody. Delighted that you're here as we move this amazing conversation forward, one that I'm certainly appreciative of being able to carry on with you, and appreciate you lending your ears to be part of taking this energy out to all corners of the earth. And when you realize that everything is energy, just a listening ear brings the frequency of this work farther and farther afield on a global scale. And what we're looking to do, ultimately, so that it becomes universally available, is build it to critical mass. Now, there was this physicist 2,000 years ago that said, a little leavening leavens the whole loaf. And I think we can rest assured he was not talking about bread. He was talking about the fact that we live in an energy system. The man was a physicist, understood exactly how this energy system works. And the leavening is the critical mass that when the higher energy of human beingness, of human life, of the active presence of love, becomes embedded enough, powerfully enough, in the energy field of the earth, then it will become available from the inside. It won't be that somebody will have to hear it with their ears, but from the inside, that energetic pattern of truth will become available. And so we're engaged and have been for many decades now in doing everything we can to make this available on a global scale. So we're honored that you're lending your ears. That gentleman said, friends, Romans, and countrymen, lend me your ears. He knew what he was talking about with the energy system of life. So we're having a conversation with Richard, and he's been a little bit perturbed by the fact that, you know, he started out not believing anything I had to say, started to build some brain cells, started to get it, and then all of a sudden found himself losing awareness of what a few minutes before he was starting to understand and was kind of confused and putting himself down. We've been acknowledging him for the fact that it is a process and he's right on track, even though at the moment he's lost some of the principles. And so we're here to engage in that conversation, to expand it out. And that we're on is Chapter 11, Processing and Going Unconscious. And if you're following us in the book, we're on page 65, if you want to open to 65. Again, if you don't have a copy of the book, jump on Amazon, jump on eBay, and you'll find copies there, usually, for sale, used. Book is out of print. I'm looking at whether or not we want to go back in and reprint it. I've done some editing and changing of it. Actually, the latest copy of the book is not in print as yet. It is recorded. You know, there is a recording of the book that you can buy on our website. The website is whyagain.org. And so the newest version of the book is there recorded. If you look in the upper right-hand corner of our homepage, you'll see a link that says MP4s. You click that link, the last item on that page is the recording of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? That is the latest version that is available at this point. And so you can purchase that, or you can go to our website and just download it free. It is not the latest version, but a copy of the printed version is available. And, oh, dear, I don't know how many languages, English, German, Russian, Spanish, Swedish. No, pardon me, Swedish is only available for purchase because the Swedish publisher wouldn't allow us to put it on the website free, which is what we've done with all our other translations, including English. So you can get the book free there, and we're looking to make it available. So I'm in this conversation with Richard and informing him that it's a process, it takes time. And he's asked the question, do I have to go dig through and re-experience everything in my past? I don't want to do that. And the objective of this work is not to dig through your past. You know, there's that old model of lay on the couch for 25 years and then you find the deep, dark, dirty thing that happened to you and then you're finished with your work. That's not the objective of this work. We're not asking you to dig through anything. We're just asking you to live as your essence love 24/7, 365. And when you can't, apply the forgiveness process, and the forgiveness process will empower you or support your empowerment in touching into what's the next level, what's the next piece of work for you to do. And so I answer Richard and say, no, there's no digging around required. If you get good at re-experiencing your past, that's what you'll get good at, re-experiencing your past. The practice with these tools is to hold a space of love within yourself and live in today's world from that perspective. If something less than love surfaces at any time, use the tools. As you do this, things from your past that impact your present perception will surface and be healed. So if something's surfacing that's based in hostility or fear, if you apply the forgiveness process, what happens is the perception of the moment, the pain perception, collapses, And when it collapses, it gives you access to the underlying issue, the next piece of your work that needs to be done. You can only deal with and heal your reality structure in the process. And I've noticed here that Richard's not breathing, so I asked him the question, are you breathing, Richard? Breathing? Why do you keep bugging me about breathing? What's the big deal? Cried angrily. Hey, I'm on your side, remember? I'm here to support your healing. Recall when we spoke about how pain gets locked in with your reality? Holding your breath causes feelings and events to be linked and stored as a unit. The energy of an experience you're having is suppressed into tissue when the breath is held. Rather than staying stuck and upset, if you breathe, it's easier for old patterns to break loose. And this distasteful present moment experiences to pass is the switch that either restricts or allows energy to move in your system. Keep your breath open. It makes healing much easier. So when you're rolling along, if you just become an observer of your breath, whenever the breath is being held, there's an energy being locked in tissue. And so it's just a warning signal. If you just observe yourself, where you're holding your breath is an indicator, oh, here's where there's a piece of work to be done. And so the key thought offered here is every day it's the same old thing. Breathe, breathe, breathe. Yeah, and when you're not, when you're restricting your breath, even slightly, there's an indicator that there's a piece of work to be done. So rather than searching through a deep, dark past, just live in your breath. Live aware of your breath. And where your breath is being restricted, do your work. Just tap in and observe what's being hidden by the holding of the breath. Take a breath and it will uncover the next layer of work you need to do. So that's the idea of breathing. Another tool, just awareness of breath, is such a key. And, you know, there's a process that we do that we teach in our intensives where we step into a connected breathing process called still point breathing that just opens and dumps so much of what needs to be moved. And we're here to hold the space for everything in your life. And of course, as we talk about everything in your life, we're talking about ourselves too. We're included in the process. We're not pretending to be any different than anybody else. We've perhaps been at this a little longer than you, and so maybe we can help and guide you, but we are in this together, and it's about each of us doing the work. And the work is that of literally when there's something that is unlike love moving in us, learning to access the root of that which is moving, bringing it forward in the presence of love, and dissolving it. It's a real key in the healing process. In fact, it's the core of the healing process. I can remember back a couple decades or more ago that, you know, having observed over many years, people just, I mean, with things that would seem to be unhealable, things that just could never be really shifted or changed. And wondering, you know, why is it that I work with someone and I see this magnificent change? And I don't care whether it's physical, mental, emotional, relational, financial healing. I mean, things that are really serious things going on. And watching them shift. And other times, where people seem to want to heal, but somehow or other it just never moves for them. And in looking and wondering and asking, I was then shown, here it is. In order for healing to occur, to two things have to happen. You remember in the ancient teachings, they said the veil of the temple must be rent in twain. Then we're not talking about a purple curtain in a church. The veil of the temple is the barrier between the subconscious and the unconscious mind. When they said the veil of the temple must be rent in twain, what they were saying was that veil has to be opened. The veil is built by holding the breath. The veil is opened by breathing. And so what's the bottom line in healing? Two things have to occur. One, love must be conscious, active, and present. And when I'm talking about love, I'm not talking about the mushy, oh, I love you kind of stuff. I'm not talking about fake love, approval. I'm talking about the presence of human life, the presence of our created essence, love, being present, and the veil, the barrier, again, between the subconscious and the unconscious, needs to open so that something that's been hidden under the surface is allowed to come forward. And whatever comes forward in the presence of active love dissolves. It's done. And so that's what we mean when we're talking about healing. My observation, my offering is, I've never seen anybody holding their breath that's healed anything. I've never seen anybody unconscious and unaware of their breath, locking things down with the breath and working through anything. Oh, there can be a pretense of it, but here what we're talking about is shifting the energy within us that brings about our repeated or our why is this happening to me again experiences. When I bring the root of what's that, my why is this happening to me again experience, when I bring the root of that thing that I, you know, so many times I've said, why the heck is this going on? What's going on here that here I am back in this boat again? What shifts that? What changes that? Whatever is hidden under the breath is allowed to open and love is present. When those two things occur, healing occurs. And that which is less than love, conscious, active, present love, that's what we're here to support. That's what we're here to bring forward. That's what we're here to have people understand and really truly bring into expression. And so we're honored to be sharing this information with you and Miss Jeannie. Do we have anybody out there with a hand up in the phone queue or anything happening in the chat room? Is Miss Magdalena
back
with
us? Yes.
Oh, good.
Monty,
let's say hello to the young lady.
Hi there. Now, can you hear me?
You're loud and clear. Welcome.
Oh, good. I don't know what happened before, but it was weird. So anyway, I just called because I had this idea that might work. Jeannie, when you were saying you're looking for a certain tape, we do not have tape recordings, reel-to-reel tapes. We have videotape, and I'm not sure if what you're looking for might be on one of them. And this is all of the videos. Go ahead.
No, this is actually a cassette tape. It was a series that Michael did called Stepping Beyond. That was a lot of them come out of the Course in Miracles. And so it's tape 25 about the Pyramid Prophecy. Yeah, so that's the one that we may have to replace with something else if somebody doesn't come up with it. But thank you.
Okay. Well, another thought I have, and I have no idea if we should just throw them away if anyone's using videotapes these days or not. But before doing anything with them, I wanted to ask you if you had a need for them or think anyone else might.
Are you talking about tapes of our previous workshops and such?
Like VHS tapes?
VHS. These are that before you transferred them onto DVDs. These were
right.
All of the variety.
There is one that, if you happen to have it, our company that did our mastering and such had lost, and it was a Sunday service that I used to do that was called Where is the Love? If you've got a copy of Where is the Love, I would love to have it.
Okay, I'm going to need to write that down because I'm out in the garden right now. Where is the love?
I'll text it to you. I'll send you a text.
Idea.
That'll work.
Yeah.
Cool.
Good.
Yeah, if you've got that one, for some reason or other, the folks who kept our library for us somehow or other disappeared that one, and I would love to get it back again.
Very good. Okay. And in terms of the rest of them, should we just chuck them out?
Well, we could put it out if there's anybody that's listening that would like, if Magda has some of the VHS tapes from our workshops. We've had those all remastered and transferred over to DVD and CD, or actually now they're online in streaming service. But, if somebody would like to have those VHS, drop a note to Jeannie, Jeanie, at whyagain.org, and we'll let you know. And, there you go. Magda's willing to donate them. Cool.
Who knows? I'm thinking nobody's using VHS anymore. But who knows? These are actually checks. And there's quite a big box of them, so maybe it's in there.
Cool.
Oh, I'm sorry. I walked in to write that down. Where is the Love? Is that the name of it?
Where is the Love? Yes.
Okay. I walked in and I didn't see it. I'm walking back out, but here we go. Where is the Love? Okay. Very good. I will listen and send my love to you guys.
Okay. How is the listening to responsibility communication going for you?
Guess who isn't doing it?
Still waiting, eh?
We have company right now, so I'm using that as my excuse. And
I see, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good excuse. I am clearly ready to do it, and that's very good that my energy has changed toward my attitude of doing it is instead of fear. About what will I find out? It's like, what will I find out? Yeah.
Cool.
So.
Well, I was hoping perhaps you had done it, and I was thinking we might schedule a session for Sunday afternoon as one of the bonus sessions for the Codependence to Interdependence Communication Practice Intensive. But maybe we could set it up now to do it a week from Sunday, if you feel like you would get.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, then we'll also put an invitation out to everybody to watch. Yes.
A week from Sunday, you're going to be in Lexington.
Oh, that's right. Let's make it 2 weeks from Sunday.
2 weeks, very good. Yeah, that will certainly give me enough time because our company will be leaving on Sunday, and that'll give me enough time to dig into it and have some fun with it, and we'll see what happens after that, right?
Cool. And we'll invite everybody else to give it a listen between now and then and develop questions so that we can really do a really awesome job of getting a two-hour follow-up on that original two-hour magnificent session that you did and have that as a bonus as part of the self-study package for the future. Cool.
It's so
that'll be May
30th. Okay. I'm just going to make this comment before I put myself on mute. You say magnificent, and I go, I thought it was terrible. I didn't do very well. So there's a lot of judgment, self-judgment here. And so I have a lot to learn from this. It'll be great.
Well, for me, Magda, when I say magnificent, I feel like you were really the catalyst for opening such a deep level of the responsibility communication tools, the fact that it's been your favorite tool for so long and that our conversation was able to go to the depth that it did. To me, it was Yeah, it's one of the crown jewels in the work at this point. So I'm appreciative of the work you've done in that regard and the conversation you're a catalyst for opening, because that's what gets things to move at depth for people. And so that's why I'm hoping that everyone in the intensive will re-listen to it and really clarify their questions, have the questions answered, and then we'll do a two-hour session on the 30th and get the understanding to a whole new level for everyone, including me. I mean, you know, that the responsibility communication worksheet is one that I have not changed in years. And there are changes coming to it as a result of that conversation with you. So I consider that to be really a powerful contribution, and I appreciate it very much.
Thank you. And now that we talk about it, I realize that if I had done it perfectly, notice one of my favorite words, perfectly, that there would not have been an example to get, you know, of how to go awry with it and how to reform the questions and the comments. And so that was all made available by my wonderful imperfection. Cool.
Well, I think it goes further than that. For me, it went to the level of your insight to it. And the fact that when, let's say, what you might refer to as your imperfection was brought forward, the conversation that ensued opened a new level of clarity around many, many points. And that's, you know, that's what, to me, it's all about. So that's why I consider it really, truly to be one of the crown jewels in the work that we're doing. It's pretty awesome.
How cool.
That is great. I appreciate it.
Quite different. I'm feeling quite different about it now, so thank you for continuing the conversation here.
You know, it's like if we enter into a conversation with somebody that's new to, say, a tool like that, then we go, well, A is A, and B and B, and C is C, and D is D. Okay, well, thank you, bye. But we didn't do that. We did A. Well, what about A1? What about A2? Well, how about... Well, what about then when we got to B? It was, well, how do we clarify? To me, that was what made it really valuable.
Mm-hmm. Clarify, and the other thing I got so far, you know, just from having had the experience and not going back yet, but clarify and simplify. That was so potent, you know, simplify. What is it you really want? What is it you're experiencing in the simplest version of everything? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And significant changes, subtle, but still significant changes, are going to happen in the worksheet, the instruction sheet itself, as a result of our interaction. And that, to me, is what makes it most valuable. It was anything but plain vanilla.
All right. Wonderful.
Cool.
Good.
All right, young lady, we appreciate you.
Indeed, and I appreciate you and cherish our relationship together. Thank you.
Yeah, me too. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a text from someone, and they were like, Chuck's going to be part of this one this time too, isn't he?
I'm going to force him to, yes. No, I imagine.
Right, I want to see this. I want to see force Chuck to do something. Good luck.
Right. It was a yoke. I expected him to be, and so I'm gathering that someone else would like that as well.
Yes, they want him to.
Yes, they
very
definitely
good.
Wanted to be part
good.
Of it. Cool.
Okay.
All right, that's blessings.
Great. Blessings to you all. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
So I'm getting ready to post that in the codependence group. What time frame on that Sunday? What time
let's
works
go
for
with,
Peter?
I think 2 o'clock, 2 to 4, and I think he's 6 hours behind us. And Peter, let us know if earlier is better. But I think 2 to 4, which would make it 8 to 10 for him in Sweden. And again, if you happen to be listening, Peter, we'll get a note out to you. If it needs to be earlier, let us know. and we'll set that up. Cool. Lots of noise in the background. Sounds like typing fingers flying.
Oh,
maybe you can mute there, Jeannie, while you're doing
that.
Yeah. Yeah, it just comes through on top of everything. Sweet. Well, Miss Jeannie, do we have anybody else out there with a hand up in the phone queue or anything happening in the chat room?
Nope, it is all quiet.
Well, let's invite somebody to.
Michael, I just got a text that says that's Memorial Weekend, so that might be an issue for some people because they'll do the whole weekend. And we ran into that with Easter, so.
Yeah, that's also our wedding anniversary.
Yep, it is.
Okay, well, let's go for the next week then. Let's put it off one more week into June, whatever that would be.
Okay, that'd be June the 6th. Thank you, Julie, for reminding me of that. Yeah, because we ran into people having issues being part of it on Easter weekend. So
June 6th, that works.
Okay.
Cool. Sweet. And let's plan. In fact, Jeannie, while we're doing it now, let's make June 6th the session with Magda on the responsibility communication. Let's remind everybody to really give a listen and write down their questions on the process and refinement so that we can really create a really precise completion of that. And then let's make the following weekend the bonus session on the PowerPerson worksheet. So that will complete the extra 4 hours that will become part of the self-study intensive. So.
Okay. So that's cool. June the 6th and June the 13th.
13th, yeah. Sweet. Awesome. All right, well, if you're out there in listener land, what's on your mind? How can we support you? If you're on one of those stations where we can't see you in our control panel, the call-in number is 563-999-3581. If you call that number, you'll be listening to the show. And then if you have a question for us, if you push 1, that raises hand in the control panel, Jeannie will know you have a question for us, and we'll be having a conversation. So how can we support you? What's on your mind with these tools? And so please, everybody, don't all raise your hands at once. But if you're out there for the question, we're at about the halfway point, a little better than halfway through the show. So we've got 26, 27 minutes left for conversation. And let's have a conversation. You know, our responsibility communication tool, you know, in essence, the core of responsibility communication is that, let's see, best way to say this. When you realize that perception is a construct of the mind, you know, the world that you think you see out there is not out there. I mean, I'm talking science now. I'm not talking theory. I'm not talking, you know, we're looking at the fact of how the mind works. You know, we've been taught, and virtually everybody on the planet believes, I have eyes and I see. See, I saw that out there. You know, you've never, ever in your life seen anything outside of you through your eyes, because your eyes are not a set of windows. They're not something you look out through to see what's going on. The eye is a receiver. It's an antenna. It works with frequencies of light, just like a TV antenna works with frequencies that are UHF or VHS frequencies. It's a receiver. The receiver doesn't send. You don't look out through the receiver. You receive with the receiver. So light frequencies come into your eye. Those light frequencies cause resonance in the brain, in the body. That is the storage system. I should say perhaps more correctly, the mind, which functions throughout every cell in the structure. So when information resonates in response to light, your perceptual system constructs literally. Now, I'm not talking figuratively or metaphorically. I'm talking absolutely, totally, completely, 1,000% literally. Your mind generates a construct called perception. It's interesting. The Course in Miracles says that that construct is a skill made up by you to take the place of what the Creator gave you in creation. In other words, there's an actuality. There's something that's actually going on, but your perceptual system makes a cover for it. The Course refers to it as a dense cover that we lay over the world of the Creator. So perception constructs the world that you see. And so the average person uses totally, completely projection communication. If a picture shows up in somebody's mind of someone doing a particular behavior, then projection communication, you know, let's say that the behavior that my brain shows me that you're doing, I find upsetting. So I will say, using projection communication, and when you did thus and so, that really made me mad. Now, that's what we call projection communication. I did not see you doing something, and what you did, certainly, even if you had done it, is not what made me mad. What made me mad is there's mad inside of me. If there is no mad inside of me, then there is no mad to be expressed. Pained perception comes from pained content. But if I have pained content and I live in a standard world, then I project that content into my brain's image of you, and I say, and when you did that, you made me so mad. I'm now in projection communication. In responsibility communication, that gets turned around. And I actually describe the perceptual construct of my mind as though I'm aware that it's a construct of my mind. It's not what happened out there, but it's a construct that's going on inside of me. So now we're talking about responsibility communication. And when I use words that reflect that I'm aware that I'm talking about the constructs of my mind rather than talking about you, then everything changes. Because all of a sudden, I've given up the lie that my perception, the construct of my mind, is what happened out there. Because it's not. It's what happened in here. And when I language with the awareness, I know that I'm describing what happened in here rather than the belief and the lie that it was out there. Then I get to come closer and closer and closer to realizing the falsity of many of the constructs my mind shows me. And when I do that, I get to start changing them. And when two people do that, when two people actually are conscious enough to live in responsibility communication, then there's a magical thing that happens there. And that is that the underlying pained parts of our perceptual system start to surface in the presence of truth and begin to dissolve. That dissolution process is called forgiveness. It is the master key to removing pain. And so that's what we're here to help people to understand. And there's a very simple marker that will tell you infallibly, absolutely, totally, and completely infallibly tell you when you're in projection communication. And that is that there's some form of hostility or fear that has subtly integrated itself into your perception. And the way that you get to access the hidden parts of your mind is when you really, truly start to language like you know that the perceptual construct of your mind is about you and that it's yours. And when you start to describe it truthfully, when you exit the lie and you start to tell the truth, then there is the space where actual love shows up. And as it does, everything changes. So that's what we're talking about when we're talking about responsibility communication. It's an awesome tool. If you go to the website and you look under, you know, if you go to the homepage, there's a link that says worksheets to download. If you click that worksheets to download link, look at the list. Now, there are dozens of worksheets in there. Go down the list and look for the word communication. If you're in a browser and you go up to the menu in the browser, there'll be a find on this page. Just put in the word communication, and it will take you to a worksheet that gives the 7 steps of responsibility communication. We broke it down to 7 key steps. There is, if you want to investigate further, you know, when you're not part of the intensive, of course, you can always sign up for the self-study intensive package that will come out of this. There are going to be 80-plus hours of video in that, and that will include the session that we're talking about that we did with Magda and the additional session, along with all the other why is this happening to me again and healing through relationships and communication work. But you can also go to, you know, on the home page in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see MP4 downloads. If you click there, you'll see a workshop called Communication. Did you hear what I think I said? It's a 2-hour video. And if you choose to, you can purchase that download. Downloads of our 2-hour workshops are $20, by the way. And so you can go ahead and dig into that particular piece of work if you so choose.
They're not downloads, babe. They're streaming.
Or pardon me, streaming. Yep, excuse me, my misuse of language, yes. They are not downloadable, but once you purchase them, they're permanently yours, available for streaming. Thank you for that reminder, sweetie. Keep me on track. You do such a great job of that. All right, so we're down to about 17, 16 minutes. So if you're out there in listener land and you have a question or a thought for us, if you push 1, that'll raise a hand in the phone queue and Jeannie will invite you to have a conversation with us. How can we support you? And if we have no questions, if it's all so simple, straightforward, and clear, then we can complete the show. If nobody's out there with a thought for us or a question. So this is a section of the show that's about questions and answers. And so if we're complete and nobody
sure
has any questions.
I'm not sure if she pressed 1 again, but the switchboard kind of flickered. So, Julie, I'm turning your mic back on.
Oh, can you hear me?
Hey there, Miss Julie. You are loud and clear. How are you, young lady, out there in the far west coast?
Well, I had my phone in my pocket, and I guess I somehow came on to you again. So, hey, I'm on the West Coast. I'm in one house and out of it and into another, still moving. And lots of allergies going on now. I'm moving to a new place, so the neighborhood has different kinds of pollens, I guess, and it's affecting me a little. But, you know, I always get through hay fever season. But I'm not here to talk about my organ. I didn't really press 1. My pocket did.
Oh, okay. It was a butt press. Okay. Well, we can let that go.
Yeah.
Unless you have a question or a thought for us.
No. I'm doing really well. I just feel like I'm moving along pretty well in life.
That's awesome.
And yeah, and I really miss the Avacyn. I sent mine to George, and so I'm going to be talking to him about, you know, he's had it for a month, so is he happy with it, and does he want one of his own, that kind of thing. And, you know, because I miss it. I like just, you know what part of it is just actually sitting down and doing nothing.
Quiet,
you know, letting my blood circulate.
And also, and what happens when you do that is, especially if you live in a sympathetic dominant state, and a sympathetic dominant state is where muscles are tense, contracted, restriction of microcirculation occurs. It's the fight, fright, freeze mechanism.
Yeah.
And what happens when you put your hand in the Avacyn is it shifts into the parasympathetic state where literally the capillary, the muscle fibers at the head of each of 60 billion capillaries soften, relax, and open, and you go into parasympathetic dominance, which is a level of softening and relaxation that a lot of people never even visit in their lives. So just spending 30 minutes doing that a couple, three times a day is awesome. And one of the things I get to do, you know, in fact, if I lift the machine up and I bring it close to my microphone, you'll hear that running in the background, is when I do the show, I have my hand in it, you know, every day. And it's a really sweet space to be in physiologically. And I understand what you're saying.
It brings up a question. You know, when I started out, I did 10 minutes or 15 minutes twice a day. And then I extended that to 15 and 20. And, you know, so George, he just jumped right in and he was doing 6 or 8 times a day. And I haven't heard a report from him. He says it's hard for him to notice what's going on. But he likes it. But is that too much to just start with? I feel like I'm not really regulating him, you know, like maybe I should be.
Well, I had a conversation with him in the first day or two that he had it, and we did talk about him breaking in slowly. And I think, you know, I understood he did that. He didn't just jump in that deeply. And we do suggest if people start to use it that they start 10 minutes twice a day, then if that works, go to 15, go to 20, go to 25, go to 30. And only because if people are toxic and they jump in too quickly doing too much of it, it can tend to create an emergency type detox, which isn't necessarily comfortable. And so we suggest people ease into it comfortably rather than pushing themselves. But once you've gone through that easing in process, then, you know, doing at least an hour a day, you know, 30 minutes twice or more is quite desirable.
Yeah.
It was interesting. Yeah. There's a friend up in Lansing, Michigan, who I was talking to about it. He had no idea anything about the machine. And he was telling me that he had some hip pain at night and that 4 or 5 times a night, it was waking him up. He couldn't sleep. He wasn't getting proper sleep because of his hip pain. And so I said, well, why don't I send you an Avacyn and try it and see what happens? Well, within like 4 days, he's like, I'm sleeping all night and I have no hip pain. And by the way, I didn't even realize I had knee and shoulder pain, and that's gone too. And he bought his own machine. So, you know, it's pretty profound, the impact that it has. Interestingly enough, you know, he's in the real estate business, and he had a real estate agent who he's done work with over many, many years. And both he and his wife were having some pain and joint issues. And so he when he went ahead and got his own machine, when it came in, he said, do you mind if I pass this on to them to try? I said, sure, go ahead. And so it was Saturday morning, and he gave it to them. And I called him Sunday just to, you know, check in. How are you doing with it? Any questions? And that was Sunday afternoon. And the woman was just like, well, I don't believe this. But, and I'm not sure what age they are, but she said, you know, when my husband and I go out somewhere, when we get back home, I kind of get out of the car and I have to straighten my legs out and my back. And, you know, it's like, she said, we both just kind of hobble into the house. And she said, we just got this thing yesterday morning and we went on a long trip today and got back home. And she said, I was shocked. She said, we both just got out of the car and walked in the house like normal people. And that was like, she had it less than 24 hours. So it was pretty cool to hear that kind of report happening. It's a pretty amazing device. So I'll check in with George and see how he's doing with it.
Yeah, that would be really cool. Great if you could do that. Yeah,
I'll do
and
that.
I loved hearing those stories. Yeah. I love this. I love that we get to live like true human beings.
It's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing, yes. Mm-hmm. You know, most people, the changes they note are subtle, but, you know, as with what I just shared, pretty significant. I mean, being able to sleep through the night without becoming aware of hip pain 4 or 5 times and being disturbed that many times through the night means a significant shift in sleep patterns. And that's that can be, I mean, life-saving, in fact. A lot of people, you know, who don't get a proper amount of sleep, you know, the brain doesn't detox properly, and it's literally life-shortening. So can make quite a difference.
Right. And, you know, coupled with this work, the forgiveness, the Aramaic forgiveness work, where, I mean, one of the most critical turning points for me in this work was when I realized that my thoughts weren't necessarily my own and that I wasn't as bad as I thought I was, you know, because I must be bad because of the thoughts and the things that were wrong, you know, what I'd been told, right? So
right.
When I learned I could cancel those goals because I actually ended up subscribing to them because they were just put on me, and so I survived that way. That allows me to, you know, just think of myself lovingly and with respect, you know, instead of trying to overcompensate and or hide all the things that I think are wrong with me, not wanting people to see that. And you know, when I can let myself see it and take responsibility for what I'm seeing and then have the notion or the idea or the truth that that might not be who I really am, that I think I'm seeing, that I've been told that I am, that's
right.
Just so wonderful to be able to, you know, self-service myself and be empowered again with who I really am and the life I get to design. So
exactly.
That's a critical turning point. It really is for me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The other thing
I've been seeing.
Yeah. The other thing that I, you know, after working with this device for the last 11 months or so, is I'm realizing that it is actually physical forgiveness. The energy that it moves through physiology is literally the removal of those patterns subtly on an energetic level. So it's like a physical form of forgiveness that augments the mental and emotional work that we're talking about doing. So together, you know, things move on a more whole and more complete basis. So I understand
like
what you're saying fully.
When we're really ready to do the forgiveness work on all the levels, then along comes this amazing invention that helps remove the physiology that, you know, has been broken down and ready for removal.
Precisely.
That's so great.
Precisely. I'm with you 100%.
Yes, we are with and of.
All right, young lady.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you have a blessed one. Lots of love. All right,
good
bye-bye.
Luck with all your activities and happy anniversary.
Okay.
Bye.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
And Julie, as far as your the pollen stuff that's going on, be sure to get you some lemon water, cayenne pepper with maple syrup in it and sip on that. And also oregano oil. And
you don't want to take it the way the bottle says. You want to put water in the back of your mouth and drop it straight into the water and swallow so it doesn't touch the surfaces of your mouth because it's pretty hot. But that helps clear it up pretty fast.
For sure. Yeah, if you're going to use oregano oil, just to be a little more precise about it, you know, put water in the back of your throat, like, you know, put your head up and like you're going to gargle, and then drop the oregano oil into the water in the back of your throat and immediately swallow. And then the oregano oil doesn't come in contact with the skin surfaces throughout your mouth and create that burning sensation that oregano oil can do, because it's pretty powerful. It's pretty strong stuff. And there's a particular oregano oil product. I'm not remembering offhand the name of the company that manufactured, but it's called, they carry it on Amazon. It's called P73. See, I've got a bottle of it here, and it is Herb and Spice Company. The Herb and Spice Company, P73. Pretty amazing stuff. It's they've done some double-blind research with it, and in many cases, it's more profoundly impactful than antibiotics. It doesn't have the side effects of your average antibiotic, but it's antiviral, antifungal, antibacterial. So pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah, there are some oregano oils that are like essence of oils, like that you would put in diffusers or something like that, or for external use. You want to make sure it's an internal use oregano oil.
Yeah, there is one other brand that we bought that really heavy duty to take, right, honey?
Yes, it is.
We've actually got a few bottles of that, and before we use it, we cut it with olive oil because it's so strong. But that P73 is really a perfect balance. So we're down to about 3 minutes.
2 minutes.
If you're out there. 2 minutes, if you're out there in listener land, what's on your mind? How can we support you? Two-minute conversation wouldn't take us very far, would it? So let me just offer that, you know, as the subject of the Amazon was brought up, it's a device that it's about the size of a bread box. You put your hand in it. And what happens is a cuff seals around your hand, creates a vacuum around your hand, and causes the blood vessels in the hand to distend. Your hand is on a heating plate. And so basically, with those blood vessels distended, there's a heat exchanger in the palm of hand, and it just literally pours heat into the bloodstream, warms the blood throughout the whole body, which causes muscle relaxation. It's actually a Class 2 medical device, so the FDA says, yes, you can make the medical claim that this creates relaxation and handles pain. So in Europe, it's actually approved, not here, but in Europe and in Canada, it's approved for fibromyalgia treatment. So pretty profound little device. And so we happen to, it's one of the ways we support the work, is we happen to distribute that device. So if anybody's interested, touch in, drop Jeannie an email. I'll touch back in with you and give you more information if you're interested. In the meantime, create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.